Well, dear brothers, today, because of some personal situation, I'm not able to be with you in person. And so I have pre-recorded a couple of sessions of training this morning. I just look to all of you to still be very serious before the Lord and very exercised in your spirit. Please, just because I'm not there, don't check out mentally and just be there bodily. I really entreat you all to still be prayerful and attentive to the fellowship. Today we're on lesson 25, this first session on the discernment of the elders. I'd like to remind you and recharge all of you that besides these Saturday morning times, your weekly, 3 weeks in a row, a weekly time gathering with some other brothers to study these lessons by way of getting into the outlines and by way of prayer and by way of fellowship. This kind of pursuit is essential. It makes the biggest difference. If it's only listening to me and writing down some notes and you go home, I will guarantee you, you'll get something, but not that much. The bulk of what you will get is in your own study. And this morning, I would even say you must try to find time not only to get into the outlines, but get into the reference reading. For example, in lesson 25 this morning, it is all from chapter 7 from the book, The Elders' Management of the Church. And my speaking is one thing, but your reading of that chapter will equip you, will perfect you much, much more. So I hope that we all will be still, we're still taking this training in a most serious way, because to administrate, to serve, to function, to oversee as elders, leading brothers and responsible brothers is a very solemn and grave matter in the church life, and therefore in God's purpose. So I just like to charge you all again and again and again to be very, very exercised and very, very much with a learning and pursuing spirit. And also with much prayer, looking to the Lord, that you would get into these things through practice and through much exercise. Now, this morning, we come to the discernment of the elders, a very important subject, most important subject. What I want to do is to go through the scripture reading with you, because these verses or these passages are all extremely important. Then we will get into the outline. The discernment of the elders, firstly, is in Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 18. Well, actually, here's verse 18 is in this passage here that goes from verse 16 to verse 24. And that this passage, if you have the Recovery Version with you, is concerns the disqualifications from the priesthood. That means you can be disqualified from the priesthood. You may be born in the right house of Aaron. You are in the right line, and you should be a priest by birth. But here is a kind of ordinance here that if you are found to have certain conditions or wrong conditions or inadequate or defective conditions, you're qualified to serve as a priest. So this is the context. Now, let me read verse 18 for you. Well, I'll just start with 17. Speak to Aaron, saying, no one of your seed throughout their generations who has a defect shall approach to present the food of his God. Now, verse 18, for no one who has a defect shall approach. A kind of defect means what? There's certain kind of deficiency in this person. One who is blind or lame or with a disfigured nose or with an extended limb. So you have a few things here. Blind. One who is blind, that means one who is short of light, one who cannot see. Lame is one who is lacking in strength, in capacity. A disfigured nose, which is really the point here regarding discernment, in some places it say a flat nose. This signifies a shortage, a deficiency in the sensing ability. You know, the nose is for smell. In the smelling, sensing, or discerning ability in a priest. And of course, we are all New Testament priests, and particularly the leading brothers, the elders, must be priests to serve God. So a lack of discernment here, according to this type, would automatically disqualify us. You see how serious this matter is? Now let's come to Song of Songs. In Song of Songs, you have chapter 7 and verse 4. It says, your neck is like the tower of ivory, your eyes like the pool of Heshbon by the gate of Beth-Rabim. Your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which faces Damascus. Here, specifically, it talks about the nose of this daughter of Jerusalem, this lover of the Lord. Well, what does this mean here with this nose? Well, of course, we know the neck concerns a submissive will, and the eyes means there's a kind of vision, there's a kind of broadness of sight, and so on. So this person is full of light, full of sight. And then, on top of that, the nose is a high one versus a flat one. Well, what is this? This refers to her spiritual sense of high and sharp discernment. So you have the sense here, you have the discernment here, and it being high refers to its sharpness. There's a sharp ability to discern things. There's a keenness in discernment. And that is to here, in the context of describing the beauty of this lover of the Lord. So to have a proper kind of spiritual discernment amongst God's people is a beauty in the eyes of the Lord. It is something to be praised. It is something that surely we should seek after. Now, we come to the book of Philippians, and that would be Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Paul said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in full knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve by testing the things which differ and are more excellent, that you may be pure and without offense unto the day of Christ. So Paul here, speaking to the Philippians, says he pray that they will have more and more full knowledge. Of course, it's the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of Christ, full knowledge, and all discernment. Paul prayed that they will have a discernment. Now, of course, the discernment here that Paul is talking about is with the background of some of these Judaizers who would come into the midst of the church to distract the believers by their kind of different teachings, drawing them away, distracting them from God's economy. But in order to tell what kind of teaching that they have, you have to have a kind of a discernment. You have to firstly have knowledge. And number two, you also need discernment. Now, in the footnote here, 9:2, it says sensitive perception and moral tact. Sensitive perception. Sharp discernment is sensitive perception, a kind of perception, inner perception of things, of persons. So here, Paul pray that we would have such discernment, so that, he continued, that you may approve by testing, the things which differ and are more excellent. So discernment is a kind of what? A kind of testing. By our exercising our proper discernment, we test the things, we examine the things, we investigate the things to see whether they are approved or not. So here again is another picture of what discernment, spiritual discernment is. And now I come to Hebrews 5:14. Hebrews 5:14, you have, but the solid food is for the full grown, who because of practice have their faculties exercised for discriminating between both good and evil. So here the writer is referring to the full grown, those who are mature. Now, that should describe an elder. At least in a relative sense, they should be more mature than the other saints. They're the ones who should be eating solid food, who, because of their practice, okay, I like to underscore this, that means you acquire a certain kind of ability to discriminate, you acquire a spiritual discernment, not by birth, not you just don't get it quickly or easily. It is by much practice, which means much learning by experience. And by doing that, their faculties, their inner faculties, are always exercised. And these faculties, in the footnote 14:1, it says, or senses. The faculties refer to the senses, the inner senses. You know, we talk about the five senses, and there should be a sixth sense. Well, this is talking about that sixth sense. The real sixth sense is the inner sense, the powers of perception that depends not only on our mental capacity, but also on our spiritual apprehension. Yes, there is something to be said about a mental ability to discern. We're not denying that. We need that. We need to have that exercise very much. That's why we need sober-mindedness to serve. Sober-mindedness. That means we're not muddy. We're not unclear. We don't get into imaginations. We're not deceived. We are clear-minded, sober-minded. This is very important. But the important thing is also the spiritual apprehension. There's something in the spirit that you can apprehend more so than just the mind or from the mind. And here I would like to refer you to actually that chapter in the book, The Character of the Lord's Worker, a good listener, right? A good listener. The way to listen. So you may remember, Brother Nee said that there are different kind of words that you have to listen to. Some the audible words. Some are the inaudible words that the person is not saying. Then you have to go one step deeper to know what is in the person's spirit. that even that person, the speaker, may not even realize. Now, that kind of listening is what we call a deeper discerning. And we need to acquire this kind of discernment. So although these verses are not here, but I find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you have verses like this: "For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him?" So a lot of our discerning of the saints, because this is the context, we are serving the saints, receiving the saints, shepherding the saints, listening to them, fellowshipping with them. And so we need to discern the saints. We need to discern the matters that are brought to us by the saints. Well, to know the things of man, we need the spirit of man. Only our human spirit can discern the true state of affairs, the true condition of a man. So, brothers, this discernment is indeed spiritual. It is indeed spiritual. We need to be those who are very exercised in our spirit. Our spirit must be very, very much used and practiced in order to have this kind of discernment, not just the sharp mind. We're not here just playing psychologist or psychiatrist. It is something spiritual. Verse 15, "But the spiritual man discerns all things." The spiritual man discerns all things. So, brothers, this immediately requires us to not be soulish, of course, not be fleshly. And how so? The only way we can do this is by denying our own soul. We would be people living and moving and acting in the spirit. And this way, we would be able to discern things through exercise. Well, I hope these verses are helpful. They are very, very helpful to me when I got into them again. Now, with the remainder of the time, let us get into this outline, a very, very important outline. Number one, Romans 1, discernment and management. An elder's ability of discernment is definitely related to the management of the church. So two things: discernment, management. Of course, management means administration, the church's administration. So these two things are inseparable. To have a strong and proper administration or management of the church, it calls for the elders to be able to have proper discernment. Be an elder who has no discernment concerning people and things will surely be unable to manage a church. It's quite clear. The person who manages and oversees must be considerably clear in his mind. So here, actually, there is a first paragraph in the ministry excerpts that I like to read to you, because it's spoken in such a clear way, convincing way. An elder's ability of discernment is definitely related to the management of the church. An elder who has no discernment concerning people and things will surely be unable to manage a church. In other words, a person who's muddled cannot manage the church. The person who manages and oversees must be considerably clear in his mind. We have this in the outline. If you take 3 as 4 or 4 as 3, you cannot manage the church. This is not just a case of sloppiness, of carelessness. The point here is the lack of clear discernment, a wrong read of things, a mistaken read of things, and all that have far-reaching consequences, serious consequences, because we're dealing with saints' lives. We're dealing with the church. So, brothers, do not take this matter lightly at all. Even if you were to manage it, the church, your management would be a management of confusion. And I've certainly seen my share of it. Churches in a perpetual state of unclearness, of confusion, because The elders are not able to discern things, discern the need, discern the condition of the church, of the saints, and they have no way of serving or ministering or helping those saints and those situations. So the church is perpetually in a weakened state, in a confused state, unable to go on. Therefore, either we do not mention church management at all, or if we do, we need to see a basic need, which is the ability of discernment. Now let's go on. Romans 2, the sphere of discernment. They are all together five main spheres, so well laid out for us. Five main spheres of discernment we need to possess. A, discerning spirituality. Discerning, that's the first point. So this is why I want us to read 1 Corinthians 2. Only the spirit of man can discern the things of a man. And then the spiritual man discerns all things. Here is the point is, the church is something spiritual. The church is not a worldly organization. The church is not just a company in doing business. The church is not some club in the community. The church is spiritual. Its essence, its nature is spiritual. And so we must be able to discern spirituality. What is spiritual and what is not? Is this person, this brother, this sister, spiritual or not? Or he's not spiritual. He's entirely not in that realm, in the realm of his soul or mind. You have to be able to discern that. Number one, the elder sphere of discernment is spiritual. This is an important principle. Again, don't just exercise your sharp mind or something you pick up in some psychology book or today lots of these self-help books and then profess to know how to help people. I would not deny some of these points. Those things would assist us. I would not say that, because we're dealing with a lot of human affairs, human condition. But my brothers, the main thing is we need to be spiritual ourselves, and we need to be able to discern what is spiritual and what is not. In discerning people and things, the first thing the elders have to determine is whether or not the person or the matter is spiritual. Before you judge anything, before you get into anything, the first thing you need to determine, you need to find out whether this person or this matter that you're handling or dealing with is spiritual. If it's not, then it's really difficult. Our job is in the spiritual realm. We have to bring people into that realm. We have to make judgments in that realm. No, you say there are a lot of human things. Yes, there are a lot of human things we need to take care of. But the source still must be spiritual. The ultimate matter is still something spiritual for this saint, not just to have some human problem solved, but for this saint to grow in life, for this saint to know the Lord, for this saint to learn the dealings, spiritual lessons, to what? To advance in the Lord. For the saint to get through a certain spiritual lesson. So on and so forth. This, we are administrating a spiritual organism, brothers. This is the church. It's not a worldly place. So don't bring in these kind of worldly principles and that just use them left and right and dispense advice in that kind of a way. No, it is a spiritual realm we're in, and we have to have that kind of a discernment. The church is a spiritual family and a spiritual garden, and the goal of the church administration is to nourish and supply every family member with life so that each one will grow to maturity. I said this. Some brothers, they think they're just in the counseling business, right? They counsel marriages, they counsel young people. Well, there's need for some counseling, I admit. But brothers, the main goal of overseeing a church is to supply the saints with life, to minister Christ to them so that they would grow, they would know the Lord. This is our service, not just to solve problems. Therefore, everything in the church must be discerned with spiritual insight. I like this word, insight. Well, the elders are therefore, their job is oversight. But I will tell you, without insight, there's no proper oversight. Without the inner perception of things, without this kind of spiritual discernment, you can hardly have the proper oversight of a church. Insight. Pray for insight. You know, didn't Solomon, when he became king, was young, pray to Jehovah that he would have wisdom, number one, that he would know how to go in and out among God's people. Now that tells me that is similar to what we're talking about here. Wisdom is something of the spirit. It is not just smartness. It's not just a kind of being shrewd. No, wisdom is something that comes from the spirit. And this wisdom has to do with our spiritual discernment, how to come in and out among God's people. Surely we need a lot of insight of God's people to know how to move and serve in their midst. Now, B, the second sphere of discernment, discerning death and resurrection. These are things that you and I would not think about as areas of discernment. But here it is, death and resurrection. I really, really am very, very thankful to the Lord that we have senior co-workers among us who, by their experience, can present things like this to us. Entirely not in the religious realm, entirely not in the worldly realm, entirely not in the psychological realm, but in the realm of life, the realm of the spirit. Now here, what is to discern death and resurrection? One, an elder must also be able to discern whether a brother or sister has passed through the death of the cross and whether he or she is a person living in resurrection. Almost the first thing you have to discern when you meet a brother and sister is to discern just where this person is. Before you even talk about the things, before you even touch the matters at hand, the important thing is the person, to find out where this person is spiritually. And one of the first things that you have to discern is whether this person knows the cross. Now, if he doesn't, this he or she would just be a person in what? In the natural realm. You're dealing with a natural person, a person not in resurrection, a person that is in the realm of the whole creation. That doesn't mean we don't care for this person, but by knowing where this person is, you then would know how to fellowship with them. With a natural person, you help them in a certain way. In fact, we need to help this person to the Spirit, to know the cross, to be dealt with by the cross, to know the death of Christ subjectively in whatever matter they are confronting. And if this person is a person who knows that, a person who already lives in resurrection, we also, by knowing that, realizing that, able to help this person to deal with a certain matter in the proper kind of way, our advice, our fellowship depends a lot on our understanding and knowing of where this person is. Two, you should not only discern whether a person fears God, but also if he has passed through the death of the cross, as in and is in resurrection in everything, in every point, in every conversation, in every proposal. Most saints, excuse me, they fear God. They do fear God. In fact, I would say most saints love the Lord. But here it is, even beyond that. Here we have to find out where this one has passed through death and resurrection or not. This is a higher lesson. This is a higher plane that requires a deeper discernment, as we will see. The only way we can discern is we have ourselves have to be one who has passed through these experiences. If we don't know the death of the cross, if we don't live in resurrection ourselves, we can hardly discern others, see whether they have experienced those things. Three, it may be the same opinion and the same suggestion, but when it comes from one who has passed through death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit within you will give a certain response or a certain echo. Two persons, one in resurrection, one not. One of the spirit, another one of the soul. They may even have the same opinion, same suggestion, but it comes from two different people. So when that person who is in the soul, who have do not know the cross, they give certain kind of proposal, you just inwardly would have no echo. The spirit does not confirm that. Not because the proposal is good or bad, it is because it is from the wrong source. And here is another person of the spirit with much prayer and consideration and passing his opinions through the cross, you would have another kind of response, another kind of echo. You see, these are the daily things that a leading brother would face. They're very, very practical, brothers. Four, only through such discernment by the elders can the service in the church be so pure and so free from the natural realm, the human concepts, the human inclinations, and the human ideas, and be in resurrection. The church is not a place for these human things. The church is a place for the divine will, for the divine concept, for things in the divine and mystical realm. And so all these human kind of things have no place in the church. They have to be crossed out. They have to be crucified. And so our job is to help the saints to know this, to experience this, to become spiritual men and women, to become brothers and sisters who live in the spirit and live in resurrection. This is our service. This is our so-called administration. And so it is by the discernment that we're talking about here that we can help the church and the saints to be free from that natural realm, to really maintain the church in the what? In the divine realm, in the spiritual realm, all right? In the realm of God. Now see, the third sphere, discerning the purity of the spirit and of the heart. Now we have to discern the inward parts of a man. Actually, we have to discern the rightness, the uprightness, and the purity of those inward parts. Is the spirit of this person pure when he comes to you or when he is bringing certain matters up? Where is his heart? Is his heart pure? Is his heart and his spirit right, proper? Or are they wrong? Are they impure? This requires discernment. Number one, an elder must also be able to discern if a person's spirit is pure and if its heart is proper. A, when someone tells you that another is right or wrong, you should not immediately accept his word. The danger, brothers, the biggest danger in passing judgments, in handling persons' affairs in the church, is ourselves getting into that realm of right and wrong, good and evil. Now, in the world, this is how things are dealt with, by fairness, by justice, they say, right? But we are not in that realm. Now, it doesn't mean we don't care for what's right or what's wrong. We need to know the facts. But principally, brothers, we need to not be in that realm. And we need to help the saints to not be in that realm. What realm are we in? We're in the realm of either death or life. You may be right, but you are in death. So then you are wrong. This realm is the realm we need to usher people into. So as a matter of practice, when some saint would say something about they are right and someone else is wrong, or some saint will talk about other people, that person is right, that person is wrong, don't accept that word so quickly. Be whether or not you should take the word does not depend on whether the words are good or bad, right or wrong. Rather, it depends on the speaker, whether or not his spirit is pure, and whether or not his heart is proper. The discernment needed here is beyond the words, beyond the concepts of right and wrong, or the beliefs, or the conviction of what's right or wrong, or good or bad. We have to go beyond that to the speaker himself or herself to see whether this person's spirit is pure or not, whether his heart is proper or not. This person who is saying these things may have what? A defiled spirit, a wrong spirit. Or his heart may be impure. There's an agenda behind his speech, his talking. You remember in Hebrews chapter 4, it says the living and operative word divides asunder the soul and the spirit, and can discern the intents, the motives of the heart. So when we talk about discernment, brothers, we must know how to discern soul from spirit, firstly. All right? Soul from spirit. And so we ourselves must be those who have the living operative work working in us already. We ourselves must have our spirit and soul separated and divided and discerned. Not only so, but this word will have a way of searching the intents of the heart, the intentions, the motives of the heart, the unseen, invisible things. And so, without this kind of discernment, without even our own heart being discerned, being checked out, our intention being purified ourselves, we would not be able to discern others to that degree. This is not even something you deliberately do. After much learning and experience, we automatically can tell the spirit's condition, the heart's condition, not just the words. Two, the people of the world can only judge what is right and who is wrong. However, in the church, we must go beyond right and wrong, and we must touch man's real condition before God. We need to know. Basically, we need to discern to know this brother or sister's real condition before God. If we know that, then the prescription, then the fellowship, then the counsel will follow. The important thing is to know the condition beyond the facts, beyond the right and wrongs, beyond the points of argument, beyond the outward circumstances. Where is this person? And what is his real condition? Knowing that, we would be able to make proper judgments and render proper help. Three, our expression is often that of Israel outwardly, but Jacob inwardly. All of us are like this. Outwardly, the Prince of God, inwardly, still a supplanter. So we need to know what is the inward real situation. Therefore, many times when the brothers and sisters come to speak to you, you cannot believe them according to their words only. Even they themselves don't know. They are deceived by their own heart. The heart, what is it, is in Jeremiah, the heart is exceedingly deceitful. Who can know it? That knowing is the discerning. We need to know the heart, as difficult as it is to know, all right? And not just trust the words, not just receive the words at face value. There's something behind those words. You must also have the ability to discern. Number four, the elder shepherding of the brothers and sisters and their handling of the affairs of the church, their judgments and their decisions are all based on their ability to discern. So you have that portion that we did not read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 8. You remember that this is about the case where two brothers are at odds, probably have some kind of a problem in their financial or business dealings, and they have a case with one another, almost ready to go to the worldly courts, and Paul was just reprimanding them and say, why are you going to the world? One day you'll judge angels. You should be able to judge these things yourself. And he said, so let there, is there anyone wise among you? This is Paul's words. Wise among you who will be able to discern between his brothers. You know, a lot of times there are these situations in the church life, quite often. And in order to, you know, it's just like Solomon with the two women, with, you know, with one baby who died and the other one. Those kind of ambiguous, very difficult and challenging situations. Who is right? Who's wrong? Well, we need some wise ones among us. You know, that's why Solomon prayed for wisdom. To have wisdom to discern between his people. Between his brothers. And so this discernment is very, very, very necessary. Of course, you know, there are a lot of other lessons to be learned here, you know, with brothers in this kind of situation, willingness to be wrong, willingness to be defrauded even, willingness to be taken advantage of. Why don't you do this, brothers? This is, of course, Paul's admonition. But my point here in coming to this passage is in the matter of some among us needing to have the ability to discern, and this kind of ability to discern between the saints is a prerequisite to our making judgments on cases. Okay, D, the four things. We have to be able to discern the truth. When elders encounter problems, they must also be able to discern whether the matter is according to the truth. Two, the elder should have the ability to discern the truth concerning the way of the church, the ground of the church, the nature of the church, and the position of the church. Okay, so here is the point. That not only when we handle things and deal with things in the church, we don't deal with them only just to discern whether this matter is spiritual or not. We also have to discern whether these things are according to the truth or not. Because the truth is the truth of God. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God is our ultimate authority. So we need to know the truth. Are we practicing the truth when we do this? When we deal with certain matters, is this according to the truth? And even when saints would come to us, we need to find out whether this is according to the truth or not. Well, for that, you have to study the truth. So, brothers, we have a few lessons before this that on the knowledge of the elders, the knowledge of the recovery, the church, the knowledge of the many, many basic truths in the Word. And if you don't know them, you just are without the adequate tools to make these judgments. So we have truth lessons. We have a lot of these new believers' lessons. You see, we have a lot of basic lessons on the truth. Brothers, it's a requirement that we know these things. We cannot serve in ignorance, not knowing the truth ourselves. Now, how can we lead the church properly? The church is the base and pillar of the truth, a testimony of the divine reality. So this is what we need to discern. And lastly, discern the spiritual gain and loss. Spiritual gain and loss. We have to discern something that would result in gain, spiritual gain for the church and the saints, or loss for them. Number one, in addition, discernment concerning spiritual gain and loss is also very important. Two, for example, when you make a certain decision, you must be able to discern whether or not your decision will cause a gain or a loss to the brothers and sisters spiritually. You are looking ahead. Now it's not just oversight, it is not just insight, brothers. Now we're talking about foresight. Foresight. You need to have an eye on profit and loss. If this decision is made, will it result in benefit for the saint? Or will it result in some detriment, spiritual detriment? We have to always make judgments with that in mind. Will this be a gain for the church spiritually or a loss to the church spiritually? Sometimes there's both gain and loss in such cases, ambiguous situation, there are a lot of those. You have to discern whether there will be more gain or more loss. It's relative. We have to choose what would have more gain and less loss, whether the gain can counterbalance the loss. Unfortunately, many things in life, in the church life, are like this. It's not black and white. So we need the wisdom. We need the ability to discern gain and loss. We need to know how to weigh them before we pass a judgment. Now, we have to finish quickly in Romans 3. How, then, do we have this discernment? How do we have discernment? And these are most precious points, very, very precious points. 6 points here, and I hope we can all remember them. You know, all these points are worth really, really remembering. A, the development of the ability to discern is based upon learning and experience. Learning and experience, please underscore those two things. It's not just by birth. It's not just by mental acuity. It is from learning, and much experience. So all of us in the leadership are what? Being trained on the job. This is called on-the-job training. After many years of service, I'm still learning. I believe many of you who have been elders, you're still learning today. There's always another fresh case, another saint, another situation that would challenge us. So we have to always be learning. Be the degree of learning experience you have before God is the degree of discernment you will have. The most profound discernment comes out of the most profound dealings. Learning experience comes from dealings, rather spiritual dealings. So an elder cannot forego those dealings. There is no shortcut. There's no bypassing of the necessary dealings in our lives because it is from the dealings we learn. Jacob learned and mature from multiple dealings from God's hands. Brothers, we need to open ourselves to the Lord's dealings. Let the Lord deal with you and I. If we mean business to serve the saints as leading brothers, if we are not dealt with, how do we deal with the saints? We don't have the experience to really help them. We don't have the learnings to help them. If you judge your motive and intention in everything before God, and if you judge and condemn everything that has impure motives or mixed intentions, it will be very easy for you to touch the motive and intention of the brothers and sisters. If you are mixed up yourself, if even you don't know yourself, if you and I are without light in darkness, if we're ignorant to our own true motives and intentions, then, brothers, it is hard. It is impossible to know the intentions and motives in the saints. And intentions and motives means everything. Not just the matters and the persons, but the intentions, the motives. So our impure motives, our mixed intentions must be touched and dealt with. Two, if you're one who has learned to judge your flesh and has dealt with your fleshly person, you find most conspicuous the flesh in another person who is fleshly. You have a keen spiritual sense of smell. Here again is the high nose. The nose with very, very keen and sharp sense of smell. If you and I have our flesh deeply and even severely dealt with, then when a person we find is in the flesh, it's very conspicuous to us. Very, very obvious to us. If we have not dealt with our own flesh of all kinds, many kinds of flesh, if we have not dealt, we allow them to be in us. We're not severe and absolute in our dealings with our own flesh. We won't be able to smell flesh. Those who have, they can smell the flesh a mile away. Just a few words from the saint, they right away know this person is entirely in their flesh. We read in the Bible that a priest who serves God cannot have a flat nose. Well, we covered this already. The flat nose or a defective nose denotes a lack of spiritual sense and a lack of spiritual discerning ability, which disqualifies one from the priesthood. See, concerning, again, the matter of truth, if you have never seriously studied the truth or practically learned it, you will not be able to have any discernment when you're confronted with any person regarding the truth. I covered this already. Brothers, Let us take our time. Let us save our time. If we mean business, to be elders, to know the truth, to study the truth. That's why an FTTA training is so helpful. That's why the Middle East training is so helpful. Some of us may need to consider to enroll in that just to buttress our knowledge of the truth. If you are a person who have not studied the truth and you are sloppy with the truth or ignorant of the truth, you won't be able to have that discernment. You know, in Hebrews, that discernment of the faculties is to discern what? What is superior and what is inferior? That's the context in Hebrews. What is of Christ and what is of the law? What is something of the new covenant and what is of the old? A mature one is able to discern that. And we need such mature ones in the church life. The young ones, they don't know. But we do need some, especially the elders, who are able to discern these things that are related to the truth. In the local church, there are many difficulties and problems. They are all nearly ambiguous. If we do not have discernment, we have no way to deal with them. The only thing we can do is let them go on. This is the main reason the church becomes weaker and weaker, with sickness after sickness. Brothers, don't avoid problems. Face them. Confront them. But you need the discernment to face these things. So a lot of brothers, their brothers, elders, because they have no such discernment, they just try to dodge the issue. They have no ability to deal with these problems. And so they choose to leave it there. And that become like a cancer, like germs, like bacteria. It starts to ferment, it starts to fester, it starts to grow. Always there, causing the church, the body, to be in a weakened state, in a sickly kind of condition, because no one can deal with them. We do need to pray the prayer of Solomon. E, in order for the church to be strong and to have all things on the right track, the elders must have clear discernment. This discernment must not be something worldly of man's wisdom and understanding. Rather, it must come from a man who has learned the lessons before the Lord, who has been dealt with, and who is exercised in the matter of truth. F, in such a thing as the management of the church, you can never make anything absolute. Everything is relative. Well, I think those who have experience should have found this out. There's a lot more gray than black and white. This is the case in human affairs, and this is surely the case in spiritual matters. So the relativeness is based on the condition of the elders. If the standard of the elders is high, the management of the church will surely be high in standard. So we should not compare this church with that church, this set of elders with that group. This relative, it depends on their condition, it depends on their maturity, depends on their ability. However, one thing is for certain. If the elders' standard is high, they have that kind of discerning ability, their management of the church will surely be high in standard. If the standard of the elders is low, on the other hand, the management of the church will surely be low in standard. So the church's condition, in the end, again, reflects the condition of the elders. That is an ironclad principle. 3, may the Lord have mercy upon us that we will not be discouraged in these things, neither will we be proud. Those of us who are lacking, let's not be discouraged. Let's learn. Let's seek the Lord. Let's acquire such kind of discernment. If we have some ability, some inner capacity to perceive things, to sense things, we should not be proud. This is just, we are just doing our service, our job. I think this is good enough. Let me stop here. And I think the brothers will tell you what to do next. Amen.